Chad, would you come? I didn't clue you in at all, but you're a professor, so you don't need it. Would you come and read Titus, the third chapter? You know, grab your phone, will you? Yeah, Titus 3. Go ahead and read the chapter.
All right, this is from Titus 3. Remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds, which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy statement, and concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently so that those who have believed God will be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men, but avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and strife and disputes about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. Reject a factious man after a first and second warning, knowing that such a man is perverted and is sinning, being self-condemned. When I send Artemas or Tychicus to you to make every effort to come to me, or make every effort to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there, diligently help Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their way so that nothing is lacking for them. Our people must also learn to engage in good deeds, to meet pressing needs, so that they will not be unfruitful. All who are with me greet you. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all.
Gosh, even the lawyer gets mentioned here. There's hope, huh, Rachel? Maybe. So that last song we were singing, Lord, I Need Thee. I need thee every hour. I remember as my growth process, when I got to Vail. We started the lumberyard, bought the lumberyard then, and we started Believers Fellowship then, and we started our family then. And as a young man, I was going for it, but man, was I scared. And I sometimes think that we need to be aware of the young people sometimes, that some of their antics and disobedience and their rebellion and their lack of attention isn't always just because they're bad people. Sometimes they're just overwhelmed with fear. You know, I remember when we had our school, we were taking some training once, and one of the guys that was teaching just said, you know, there's times that you just think the kid just doesn't care, and he won't do the work and almost ignore you and all that. And he says, you got to be aware that sometimes it's not just disobedience from rebellion, but they are just overwhelmed and scared. And I thought, well, it was a profound word, and I began, you know, just opening up to that. And so instead of just sometimes scolding a kid or being hard on him, sometimes I just took him aside and spent some time with him and started talking to him and find out that they had problems at home and their mom and dad were fighting or something like that. And they're just exhausted from the worry of all that kind of stuff. They just didn't have any energy. And many times, we just don't always reveal what's really going on in our hearts. We don't even know ourselves. And I thought, one of the things we got to do is just recognize that everybody we know needs a Savior. We all need a Savior. We need Him every hour. Not one of us is functioning without a Savior. You know, when you think about God and people say, well, you know, I had a guy today or this week just talk to me, and he says, I'm just a little bit bitter towards God. I'm just upset with him. And I thought, well, fair enough. But let's just think about that logically for a while. You and I, none of us breathe without God. None of us exist without God. We can think we're self-made person. We can brag about how we've worked hard and our work ethic has got us where we are today and all that. But the truth is, man, it doesn't take hardly anything to take you out. I mean, some of the I got a young man about in his 40s right now, a friend of mine, Bill Reed, has been filling me in, but he and his wife are missionaries in Africa, and about 6 months ago, all of a sudden, he got real sick, and she wasn't there, and so you and I and our body, we sent about $300 to try to get him an airplane ticket to get home to get diagnosed and get whatever, but he's just been really sick, and all the doctors there try to figure it out, couldn't figure it out. They've got home. He's in California. He's been to every specialist there is. It's been about 6 months. He almost died this last week again. He's just had terrible stomach pain. He's got weakness. And his wife called Bill and says, I thought we lost him a couple days ago. And nobody has a clue what's going on. Nobody has a clue. With all their tests and everything else, they have no clue what's going on. And I just thought, you know, as Trump just missed it by a half inch of being gone, all of us, we're that close to the edge all the time. You know, you can feel so safe sometimes. There's a Hebrew word that's called batak, and it uses several places there. In Proverbs, it talks about, you know, about being secure in him when you're intimate with him. And the word, I love this Hebrew word because it means that you are safe. But part of it that we don't get in the English, it says, it's not only being safe, but you feel safe. And we taught on this for quite a while back in the days, but, you know, there's times that you feel safe, but you're not safe. You know, when the guy drove through Perkins just a couple weeks ago and just missed my family by one booth. I mean, you're sitting in a restaurant, you feel safe. You don't anticipate, you don't sit there and say, I wonder if a pickup's going to drive in. It just doesn't even cross your mind. And when it drives in and you hear a big crash and glass flying and an elderly couple went flying across the room, you know, you just realize, man, there's no way we know what's around the corner. But here's the beautiful thing, that we can be actually batak, we can be safe, but there's times you're safe, but you don't feel safe. You know what, that's horrible, isn't it? When you're just on the edge, you know, and you don't feel safe, you're missing out on a great day. You're missing out on things. And I think a whole lot of people, young and old, are just on the edge all the time wondering what's going to hit them next. What's going to happen next? And, you know, and that's, boy, when I'm in that state, I go, man, God, I need you to deliver me. Because if something's going to take me out, so be it. It's going to take me out. But me worrying about being taken out causes me to be non-effective. And Paul was saying here on several things in the scripture about you become unfruitful. While we're here, we want to be fruitful. When you're worrying and you're concerned about all those things, you're not fruitful as you could be. We need a Savior. Every one of us needs a Savior. You know, it's interesting that he just said at the right time, Jesus appeared. At the right time. I don't know why it was the right time. Have you ever thought about that? What if Jesus came now instead of back 2,000 years ago? I mean, I don't know how he would have functioned right. I mean, you know, which vehicle would he drove to be humble instead of a donkey? You know, I don't know. Just a lot of questions, you know. But all I know is I'm going to trust that God, he is God. And he knew at the right time. And yet you think about the people beforehand. They were believing for a Savior. They were praying for a Savior. Thank God they did. All of it works together. I think that's one of the most incredible things. This God that created all things, created us, wanted us to live victoriously. He's the one that just said, man, everything is working together. Stay in faith. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. And yet at the same time, all those people that are believing God before Jesus came had to just hope in that. And they laid a foundation for you and me. And then now, since then, we're walking in it. But here is, the Bible says he's the Savior of all men, all men, all men, all mankind. Not, it's not men only, it's anthropos, men, female, children. We all need a Savior, and we all need him all the time. And I think one of the things I just feel like the Spirit of God is saying to me, son, encourage the people in yourself just don't forget. You know, some of you can remember that very moment when you got born again and you felt the pressure come off you and you felt the sins be cleansed off you. It's so fun to hear people's testimony and say, man, it was just like I was broke free and I was open, you know, and all that. But remember, you know, you still need that Savior. He saved you, but it says he's your Savior. He's not just talking about getting you a ticket to heaven. He's talking about delivering you from every situation. He's talking about being there every moment of your life, need you every hour. And the beautiful thing is we need him every minute. I'm going to go back to the veil when I was telling that story there. But, you know, I was a little bit overwhelmed starting a business, starting a family, starting Believers Fellowship Ministries. And I just began to realize, Lord, you know, I've been hungry for you for a long time in my teenage years. And you delivered me. You got me out of a whole lot of stuff I was going downhill on. But here I am, you know, serving you and all that. But I'm finding out, you know, some people would say to me at that time, I know I haven't been praying. I haven't been doing this. I haven't thought about it. And I go, Lord, I can't make it through a day without my knowledge, I need you. You know, and then it seemed like as time went on, it was like, oh my gosh, it's getting to be, I can't get through an hour. I've got to praise you. I got to think about you. I've got to declare your word. It's just like, and some of you, I kind of just forgot about God. I go, I haven't. I need him every hour. I'm so aware of my need for him. I was so overwhelmed. There's so many things going on and so many dreams and visions and fire up. And then also so many disappointments. It's like, man, I need you. And now it's like, it's pretty much, every minute I acknowledge I need you. And he says this, you got me. I'm your Savior. Don't forget the simplicity. We have him. We have a Savior. He saves us from, he's with us. His focus is on us. He doesn't, how big is our God? This is what challenges me. He can be intimate with every one of us. And one of the things I was telling the kids, I said, I'm going to tell you some of my stories. And the reason I'm going to tell you my stories is because I know in your heart you want your own story. And I tell you, you're going to get your own stories. And what beautiful thing is, to me, but challenging, my story and your story ain't the same. Sometimes when I talk with people, it's like, I don't know what God you got, but he's not the same as my God. And I don't mean that to, somebody believing in Buddhism or something else, but even just other believers, it's like, when they talk about the Holy Spirit ministering to them, I go, he doesn't do that to me. I'll be real honest, I don't hear the Holy Spirit reprimanding me all the time. Almost never. Now, you may say, I'm not listening. I may not be. But I can honestly tell you, the Holy Spirit, my friend, is always there encouraging me, reminding me. He's never condemning me. The Bible says, in John 14, that he'll convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. But if you really read that, and so a lot of people think, well, the Holy Spirit was convicting me. And what they're talking about is this heaviness that comes on me. You've been doing wrong. I don't see it that way. I read that, and if you study it, you'll see. He's trying to convince the world that he took care of their sin problem. Not trying to convince them they got sin. I mean, it's totally misinterpreted if you ask me. He didn't come to even convict the world that they're sinners. He came to convince them that there's a Savior. And then he's already dealt with judgment. And people, again, they think, well, he's telling them that there's going to be a judgment day. There's places he tells them that. But in that particular scripture, it says the Holy Spirit will convince them about judgment because he has judged Satan and condemned him. We've got a Savior who condemned our enemy and said, you are no longer allowed to beat up on my kids. We need him. And we have him. We have a Savior that delivers us out of every situation, out of all the troubles and all that. But we have to call upon his name. We have to be aware. The obedience comes now because we're so persuaded that he knows what he's doing, that whatever he tells us to do, we do it, and it works. And I'm just amazed, you know, how many times we've just seen miracle after miracle and great things after great things. What about those times when you pray and you lose a family member? You know, it can devastate people to where they never return to him. But they mistrust him forever. Everybody's going to have to deal with that. It's just a reality of life. You know, logically for me, I just say, I don't understand all that. I don't understand. Sometimes I've prayed simple prayers over people and saw profound miracles. Other times I prayed night and day and didn't see what I wanted to see. All I'm going to tell you is, you got to figure it out yourself, but I'm telling you, I'm not giving up on my Savior. I still need him. I don't have any other answer. I've been all over the world. I met people from every religion you can imagine, the guru people, the Maharajis. I've met them all. And I tell you, nobody has anything close that I'm interested in. Reincarnation sounds like a nightmare to me. I just swear I'd come back as a mosquito and get whacked. So it just doesn't intrigue me. I know who in whom I believe. He's my Savior. He's my Savior. He's my Savior. And I just want to encourage you. Just keep declaring. Keep remembering. You need a Savior every moment, and you got him. You got him. And isn't it wonderful? It has nothing to do with our performance. It has nothing to do with our what church we're in, what membership we have, and all those other things that everybody wants to say. Again, my Jesus just said, it's between you and me, boy. It's you and me. And I love you guys. I love my wife. I love my kids. But I really tell you, there's a deep reality in my heart. I have a Savior. It's Jesus. It's not you. It's not my wife. It's not my kids. It's not some pastor. It's not somebody else. I'm not your Savior. It's just me and him. I tell you what, don't ever let that go. I know, I have a feeling that when I die, I don't know. I don't. I've visualized it being alone with him in a plane. I've visualized it being around my family. I don't know how it's going to come down. We're still negotiating. It's a little too soon to make a decision. But I know this. I have a Savior. And when I go, I'm going to be surrounded by people who love me. But I've got one Savior, and he's taking me home. You got one Savior. He's all-powerful. He loves you. Stick with the simplicity of that. Amen. Good preaching, John. Cut it off so they don't forget everything else you just said. I need you every hour. Would you stand with me and let's just thank God for being our Savior. I believe we're going into some of the most radical stuff the world has ever seen. We're already in the midst of it. There's already tsunamis going on. You know, I got to admit, having the Coxes leave and having Enrico and his family leave, it's like, I think I've been mourning just a little bit. At the same time, I think, and by the way, we didn't just take the drums out because he's not here. Almost like, well, if you're going to leave, we're just going. But we actually use the drums down at Cedar Camp, and I don't know how to set them up. So they're in the back room. Enrico will be back. I'll have him set them up. You know, we can mourn our losses, and that's okay. But lift up your heads. Our Savior's still leading us. There's new things coming. You know, Rachel was really touched me during Sela camp. All the kids did, and I really felt this. I'm not leaving, okay? But I thought, He has raised up a new generation. We'll use that building when it gets built for a little while, but I've seen the leadership that's coming. We don't know who's going to take over, but they're going to all be involved. It's you guys' building, young people. Run with it. But we all have this Savior. Amen. Let's just worship Him for a moment as we close. Father, thank You so much for sending Your Son, our Savior. Thank You, Jesus, for sending the Holy Spirit. Because we need Him every hour, every minute. And we acknowledge that we need Him, but we also acknowledge that we have Him. We have our Savior. And nobody, no one, no power is greater than Him. And nobody loves us more than our Savior. And we're grateful children to be swallowed up into His kingdom in His presence. Father, we declare now, as we go out of this building, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are the light of the world and the salt. And we're going out to love on the world who needs their Savior. And they have Him, each and every one of them. He is the Savior of all mankind. Oh, let us be Your instruments to speak truth, to hug deep, and to run our race to the very end. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Have a great week.